Tonight, the sermon is called Living a Principled Life. Living a Principled Life. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Zechariah. Now, if you need to, go to the index in the front of your Bible and figure out where Zechariah is. Young people over here, make sure you're listening now. Don't talk. Listen. Now, I'm going to get on you tonight because I've got to have the attention of the people. And if they're paying attention to you play, they won't pay attention to me up here. So, young people, be real quiet. Zechariah chapter number 8. Zechariah chapter 8. The sermon tonight is very foundational. I don't think it's going to be what we would call real exciting, but it's going to be real necessary. Zechariah chapter 8, I want you to find verse number 14. Stand with me if you would please. Zechariah chapter 8, starting with verse number 14. The Bible says this, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not. So again have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah, fear ye not." Now look at verse 16, and that's where we'll get the springboard for tonight's sermon. It says, "These are the things ye ought to do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor, execute the judgment of truth, and peace in your gates." We're going to talk about the idea of living a principled life, and let me pray. Father, bless us tonight. I pray, first of all, God, that you would not, don't let my weak voice, help it not to rob the sermon of the attention that it deserves. To the untrained people that are here tonight, may they be settled and quiet out of respect for the Word of God. I pray that nobody would let anything stop them from learning what's going to be taught tonight. May we be better because of it. Holy Spirit of God, control my mind and my voice, and God, control the minds and the ears of those that will hear. Bless us now with thy presence, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse number 16 is the one that I want to use to help us with the sermon tonight, where it says, "These are the things that ye ought or shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor, execute the judgment of truth." And then he said, "There'll be peace in your gates." Here in Zechariah, he is showing us a way to stabilize our lives. He's told us some things, and then he said, then there's going to be peace in your gates. Now, the gate was the entry thereof. It would be the entry of a city or the entry of someone's home or their domain. So he said, if you'll do these things, I will bring peace to your gates. Now, you're going to have peace within your gates if you're thinking right and doing the right thing. And that's what Zechariah is teaching here. And notice this. He says there's some, if you will pre-establish what you're going to do. Look at verse 16. It says, "These are the things ye shall do." He's saying, pre-establish what you're going to do. There's some things that you have decided need to be done. You're going to predetermine that those things need to be done and that they're going to be done. Then he said, if the occasion arises, tell others about your decision. That's why he says, speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. In other words, you're going to make some predetermined decisions on how you're going to handle things. And you're not going to be afraid to tell people that you have a predetermined decision made about how to handle that thing. Then he said, then follow that predetermined decision. That's where it says, execute the judgment of the truth. He said, now you decided to handle a thing a certain way. And you're not going to be afraid to tell people that you've decided to handle that thing a certain way. Then he said, then execute your decision. In other words, decide what's right. When it comes time, do what you predetermined you would do. And the result is peace in your gates. We're going to talk about the principles of life. That process that was just described, it will eliminate a lot of frustration from our lives and our decision making. He's teaching us to predetermine some guidelines for our lives, and then when it comes time, do what you predetermined that you would do. And he said, it's going to bring a stability in your life. I want to give a little illustration. I worked on the staff of the First Baptist Church for many, many years. It would be hard for some of you to understand this, but we conducted a minimum of 52 weddings a year at that church. Almost every Saturday. You say, well, how in the world do you do that? Well, when you run 20,000 people in Sunday school, you have the potential of having 52 weddings a year. We would have 52 weddings. Most of the time, they were on a Saturday. Every once in a while, they would be on a Friday or maybe even during the week. Well, you have to understand something. If you have 52 minimum weddings a year, we required anybody that got married at our church to go through a premarital counseling course, and it would include 3 to 4 counseling sessions with the pastor. Now, let me do some multiplying for you. If there were 4 premarital counseling sessions, and there were minimum of 52 weddings a year, that meant that there were over 200 counseling sessions a year with individuals in premarital counseling. There was actually more than that because, of course, there were more than 52 weddings a year. Well, when my pastor reached his 65th birthday, he used to do all of his own premarital counseling. When he got up in years and he was a very, very busy man, he called me into his office one day. He said, Jeff, he said, I want you to start doing most of my premarital counseling for me. I'll do the weddings, but you do the premarital counseling. I have to tell you something. First of all, he was a giant when it comes to counseling and getting the things of God done. I was a little intimidated by the thought of that. I thought, goodness, how in the world? And this is what he said to me. He said, if you will take the principles that I give you, you can then do what I have done. And I thought, that sounds easy enough. Here's my fear. I was a young pastor. I was a young preacher. He had 50 plus years of experience in the ministry. And I was about to take his place in doing counseling. 50 years of experience, I felt like there's no way I can do what he did. But he said, you can do what I did if you will teach them what I've learned. I said, but I don't have that experience. He said, you don't have to have that experience. I'll lend you mine. I'll teach you what to teach them. You know something? That's far easier than having to put in 50 years of experience to get what you know. And so I borrowed his principles. And then I started doing that counseling. As he grew a little older, his health slowed down. And he cut his counseling in half at the church. And I took a major portion of the other half. At that point in my life, I was averaging about 145 counseling appointments a week. And that wasn't my job. That was just something I did on the side. But you know what I had to do? I had to have guidelines that help people spiritually. People didn't come into my office and I'd hear their situation and I'd just start guessing. And no, not at all. I had learned some principles. They would come to my office. I would turn to my guidelines and I would use my spiritual guidelines to give them. Then they would take those guidelines and live them and they would succeed. Folks, we all need spiritual guidelines. The world's ways quickly find their way into the church. I got to tell you that. Things like lying and cheating and gossip and compromise and immorality, jealousy and stealing. Those things are the norm in the world, but they shouldn't be the norm in a church. But it seems like honesty and integrity and dependability, those things are less and less in our society, and we need them more and more. And we would say of the world, if people are dishonest and jealous and immoral and they're stealing, that can be expected of the world. But folks, I got to tell you something. We can expect better out of the church. And if you say, well, I'm doing fine compared to society, stop comparing yourself to society. Start comparing yourself to Jesus and the purity of the Bible. Look, we believe the Bible. We're born again. We're saved. We have the Holy Spirit. Many of you have read God's book from cover to cover. And we have no excuse for living our life confused and making poor and weak decisions. We really have no excuse for it. So what should we do? Well, I don't think we ought to be like the politicians. Politicians make promises with no plan of keeping them. Our liberal society says, oh, that doesn't matter. That's just a part of the process. Well, I've got news for you. It does matter. It does matter that we tell the truth. It does matter that we do the right thing. Folks, don't let our liberal society mess you up. Right is still right. And wrong is still wrong. There are absolutes. There are some things that will not change. You say, but what about if the government says so? The government can change anything they want, but they're not going to change God. And the Word of God is still true. See, today's society teaches a thing called situation ethics, meaning the situation determines the behavior. But truth is, the behavior for you and I is not to be determined by the situation. It's to be determined by the Word of God. And so we're to do right. And that involves a lot of humanistic reasoning. I say the Bible should determine your behavior and my behavior. There's got to be ways for you and I to make decisions, and that those decisions be solid decisions and that will bring peace to our gate. Folks, if we can learn to make the decisions in life according to the Bible, we'll have a more peaceful church. If we can make our decisions according to the Bible, we'll have more peaceful homes and marriages and families. And that's what we want. These things, what we do is we all need to establish some principles for life. You say, what do you mean by that? Life guidelines. Your guidelines for life. That's what a principle is. People today do not live by principle so much. They let things happen to them and then they freak out and try to figure out what to do. You will freak out less if you have freak out insurance. You say, Brother Owens, what's your freak out insurance? It's my principles of life. It's my guidelines. There's some things that I have established in my life, and they help me to make the decisions in my life so that my life does not become overly frustrating, so my life does not become so chaotic, so that when things come my way, I do not panic emotionally, I do not panic and run, I do not panic and make bad decisions. Folks, when you make decisions and you're an emotional basket case while you're making them, that's a very dangerous thing to do. Now, all of us can take a hit and get real emotional, but I'll tell you what I do. If I take a hit in life and I'm all emotional, I turn to my guidelines of life and I let them steer me through that matter. They're called my principles. Stay with me now. What does it mean to live by principle? What is a principle? A principle is a rule that you have predetermined to follow. A principle is a code of conduct that you require of yourself. A principle is a personal law that you plan not to break. A principle is an action you plan to take determined on right doing. I'm going to act upon something. I already know how I'm going to act. I predetermined how I was going to act. Now I'm going to act that way. Now, everybody here, you could save yourselves a lot of grief in life if you would get some predetermined scriptural guidelines. And when life hits you, you turn to those guidelines and let them guide you through that decision or that difficulty. See, a principle becomes a part of the fundamentals of your life. Your principles become your self-elected dictators. You see, I don't go around telling me what to do. I let my principles boss me. You say, Pastor, you don't have a boss at the church. You're right. God is my boss, but there's no human boss here. I do have bosses, though. You say, what are they? I let the Scripture be my boss. I let my principles in life be my boss. Did you know there's nobody here? Now, obviously, this is an outrageous example, and I hope it stays that way. But if I wanted to start, if I wanted to drop the standards of this church, I could do that. Now, some of you might get mad, and rightfully so. I hope you do. I hope I got enough backing on that that somebody get mad about it. I hope some of you are true fundamentalists. But I could drop those standards. You say, well, and there's nobody here that is above me in regard to my position of pastor of the church. But there's one problem. I have some principles about my standards, and I let my principles tell me what to do. So they do become, my principles become dictatorial in my life. I've got some things. Hey, I might want to do something that's not right, but my principles tell me, Jeff Owens, you can't do that. And I listen to my principles, and they guide me, and they help me to make right decisions. Your principles are a part of the foundation of your life. And you become what your principles are. And so you submit to your principles. Your principles, they guide you. They become the morals in your life. And principles are lifetime guidelines that help you to do the right thing. So this process then eliminates frustration from your lives and decision making. God is teaching us, make predetermined decisions about what you're going to do, how you're going to behave, and then when the time comes, decide to do what you predetermined to do. That's what a principle is. I lead through principle. I try not to be. Now, I'm human and I'm frail and I'm a sinner, but I don't walk around this church with my emotions on my sleeve all the time, freaking out, trying to figure out what to do with everything all the time. I don't do that. I have predetermined guidelines that help me to make church decisions. That keeps peace. That keeps a calm. I don't know of anybody in this church that you and I have gone nose to nose and we were all emotional and wound up. You say, why? I lead by principle. I don't lead by emotion. Now, I like emotion. Emotion's fun. Emotion's exciting. It's unpredictable. And emotion can be destructive. Some of you, you let your emotions get to you way too much. Now, I don't want you to lose your emotions. We need someone to laugh at. But I got to tell you something. Your emotions, though, should not be your leader. Emotions are not to be my leader. My principles are to be my leader. Dads, let principle be your dictator. It's the best way to lead your family. Moms, let your principles help you to lead your family. Ministry leader, let your principles help you and dictate how you behave in your ministry. Okay, number two. Bible principles use Bible truth as their foundation. So, I go to the Bible. The Bible gives me a verse. I take that verse and I say, according to that verse, there is a way I should behave. I will therefore establish a behavior principle that I will press upon myself based on that scripture. Let me give you some examples. Exodus chapter 20, verse 16 says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy brother." The Bible's talking about false witness. So I heard that verse and many others like it. I've established a principle in my life. And it is this, to not ever say anything or repeat anything about anybody unless I'm 100% sure it's true. I also have a principle about guarding my ears. You know, when it comes to gossip, people just don't run to me to gossip. I have a principle. I don't want to hear gossip. I want to guard myself. Why? The Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy brother. I have a principle in life. You know, some of you, if I went into your Facebook account, if I went into your email system and you're texting and we could show everybody the gossip and the innuendo and the falsities about people, it would be pathetic. I have a principle. That junk's not on my computer. I don't function off of innuendo and gossip and accusation. A long time ago, I set up a principle. And if people that know me and have known me for years, I've tried to hold true to that principle. So what did I do? I looked at the scripture. Well, it talks about false reports. And I built into my life a guideline so that I can do right. Now, you know something? I'm just like you. Boy, I'd like to hear that juicy gossip. But there's only one problem. I can't do what I want to do. You say, well, who's going to stop you? My principles. I said I predetermined a guideline that would keep me from becoming a part of that. Nobody in here gets on Facebook or tweets me and gives me gossip and junk about other people, complaining and griping about other people. Nobody does that. And I'll tell you one reason why. Because of sermons like this, what am I doing? I am voicing my principle to my neighbor. Now, some of you would just say, I don't listen to that. I don't get involved in that. You would do yourself a great favor. Establish a principle that, hey, did you know that you can't say an untruth about somebody if you didn't hear it? So you need to guard your ears so you can guard your mouth. That's one of my principles. I have another principle. The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. My principle is this. I won't be bought off in regard to the truth. I'm going to preach the truth even if it's unpopular, even if it costs me something. I'm going to preach the truth. Look, if there were a multimillionaire here in our church and they went out drinking and got soused and were drunk, and if in my sermon on Sunday morning I was going to quote Proverbs 20 verse 1, that wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise, I will get up on Sunday morning and I will preach against drinking liquor, even if I might lose a multimillionaire from my church, because I give answer to my principles, not to anything else. And notice it said, buy the truth and sell it not. Now, there's some of you need to get some principles in your life. You sell out. You sell out. You get with your friends and you just sell out. But you need to predetermine what you believe and what the Bible says and decide that when the time comes, you're going to believe it and you'll let it be known that you believe it. Those are called your principles in life. They're your guidelines. I have another principle. The Bible says in Luke 19:10, it says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. Now, my principle is this. Jesus came for the purpose of soul winning, and I am going to make soul winning my purpose. Our music here will always tend toward lifting up Jesus and keeping people out of hell. Our ministry's thrust is going to be about keeping people out of hell. You say, why? For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that was lost. I determined that when I was a 16-year-old boy. Somehow I stumbled into the fact that the church and you and I as Christians, our job is to keep people out of hell. And that's a really big thing. Therefore, I look at everything in the church and I always attach it to, how does it affect soul winning? How will it affect people getting saved? We won't be replacing soul winning with activities. You say, why? Soul winning's predominant. Now, we can have activities and that's okay. But those activities, they're not going to take the place of soul winning. It's a principle in my life. God made the teaching of Scripture very clear so we could use it to establish life guidelines. Establishing personal principles is got to be done if you're going to succeed. You need to on purpose set down some scriptural guidelines for your decisions and then behave that way. So you find a Bible truth. And then you take it personally. You tell yourself then the way you will act based on that truth. It develops into what we would call your principle. And from that point on, that principle determines what you'll do in regard to that issue from now till the day you die. Folks, you do understand you're supposed to take the Bible literally and personally. This isn't a buffet. The Bible's not a buffet. You don't go to the Bible and say, "Well, I like some of that. I'll take some of that. Oh, I don't like that asparagus. I'm not going to take it." No, you take it all, and you are to take what the Bible said, and you are to take it personally, and you are to personally to decide to live it. So you take a verse or a teaching in the Bible, you establish a principle, and you decide from now on that will be a guideline for my life. And then when an issue arises in that area, that guideline makes the decision for you. That way your emotions don't cause you to sell out. That way the moment does not cause you to make a bad decision. You just say, you know what? A long time ago, I decided how I was going to handle this. I'm going to handle it that way right now. It's called living by a predetermined principle. Number three, let me give you a few quick helps in regard to establishing some principles. First of all, let me tell you this. Learn to put Jesus first in everything. Jesus is everything. Give Him the ultimate place of leadership in your life. Give Him the ultimate honor in your life. Anything you say is virtually useless or worthless if it doesn't glorify Jesus. So, with your principles, always keep Jesus as, make sure it's a blessing to Him. Make sure it would honor Him. Jesus ought to be at the top of your list of the people that you want to please in life. So, I want to establish some principles. What am I going to do? I want to please Jesus. Then, search the Bible. Search the Bible. 1 Timothy 4:13 says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Read the Bible, study it, memorize it, listen to it, obey it. Then read it again, study it again, memorize it again." You know what? You're going to find in the Bible there are some behaviors that you and I are being told over and over again ought to be prevalent in our life. I would say then, you ought to say, you know what? The Bible's very clear on that. I'm going to establish a principle from this point on in my life. I am going to behave a certain way based on the Scripture and the Scripture that I have learned. So, I'm going to put Jesus first. I'm going to search the Scripture for principles or guidelines for my life. Then, learn to follow leaders that follow the Bible. Let me read a couple of verses to you. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13, it says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly." Then in 1 Corinthians 11:1, it says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." So, pick leaders who live by principle, and let them help you to learn or live by principle. So, I put Jesus first in my life. I start searching the Scripture for principles. I get around principled leadership. Folks, I got to tell you, leadership that is always functioning off of emotion creates insecurity. It creates chaos. It creates confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. Look, our emotions change. Our principles do not. Principled thinking leaders bring an anchor to the decisions of people's lives. Let me tell you this also. If you want to be a principled person, you got to stop trying to impress everybody. Here's what has to be bottom line for you. You want to do what's right. You just got to want to do what's right. Teenagers, let me tell some of you how to salvage your life. Stop worrying about what all the other teenagers think. And decide to do what's right. The day that changed my life as a 16-year-old boy was when I looked around at my peers. I went to a high school. Honey, how many people do you think went to our high school? 850 people. I'd spent the first many years in my high school petrified and worried about my peers. There came a day when I was 16, I decided, that's it. I am an emotional basket case, worrying about what the girls think of me, and worrying about what the jocks think of me, and worrying about what everybody thinks of me. I decided something. I don't care what anybody thinks of me. I will do what the Bible says, and the rest of them can go goof off behind the barn if they want to, but I am going to get something in my life that will anchor me. I want to be a strong Christian. And if some of you would make that decision, then you start making all your decisions based on the Bible. Some of you that are emotional freakouts, and you know what? Emotional freakouts, you can't always tell they are. Some people freak out and you all see it. Some people freak out and nobody sees it. But I'm telling you, if you want to stabilize your life, you got to stop worrying about what everybody else thinks. And then you begin to live by principle. You let the Bible tell you what to do. Now, I got to tell you this. You can learn principles from other people. If your leadership is biblically principled, you can then learn principles from other people. Look, here's what I do. If I don't have a principle for a certain area of life, I'll look to the most spiritual person I can find and I will borrow one of their principles. Now, I want to know what the Bible says, but I'm going to tell you something. If I'm in a pinch and I need to make a decision and I don't have time to do a 10-hour Bible study, I'll find the wisest person I know that is scriptural and I'll go to him and say, what would you do in this area? And then I thank their principle, so therefore they share with me their principle. I feel relatively safe that way. I'll find out what the Bible says about it. But, you know, can I tell you something? The day that my seasoned veteran pastor said to me, Jeff, you don't have to have 50 years experience in the ministry to do what I do. You don't have to have paid the price of 50 years. Let me just give it to you. I thought, what a deal. Now, we can learn by a lot of aspects in life. You can learn by your mistakes. I have scars to prove some lessons that I've learned in life. You can spend your life gathering principles. But let me tell you something. You come across somebody that is spiritual and somebody that knows the Bible and somebody that has a series of pre-established, very successful principles, might be a good idea if you could get some of those. They took 40 years to gather them. You could get them in 40 minutes by getting someone's advice. That's why the Bible talks about seeking counsel. When you're seeking counsel, some of you, you know, here's what you are. You're worldly. You seek counsel so you can go play the emotional game. I want to be emotional with you, and can you be emotional back with me? And we'll rub each other's emotional bellies, and you make me feel good, and I'll make you feel good. Well, the truth of the matter is, you want to come see me, I'll rub your belly if I've got to, but the truth is, what I want to do is I want to give you a principle for life so you can make a good decision and be established and have peace in your life. So we have the chance to get to somebody that knows something that we don't know, and we can borrow principles. Now, every time I face an issue in life where I have no principles attached to it, I decide, and I don't know what I'm going to do this time. I'll try to get some help this time. I'll figure this out this time. But tell you what I do. The minute I get through that episode, I go to work on a principle for that issue. You say, why? I hate getting caught off guard. I hate having things come at me and my emotions leading me through it. I've been through some very dramatic things in my lifetime. I'm 56 years of age. After I got through them, I said, I'm going to look back on that. I'll figure out exactly what is scripturally right the next time I go through it. And the next time, I'm not going to have the emotional trauma it brought on me this time. And the reason why some of you repeat the emotional trauma is because you're repeating the emotional involvement and you're repeating the emotional decision making, when what you should have done is you went through it once and you were an emotional mess. You should have established some scriptural guidelines on how you will handle yourself if you're ever back in that identical situation. So the next time it comes, you float through very calmly because you're depending on your scriptural guidelines to get you through it. Folks, there's something powerful about this. See, biblical principles don't change. Why? You say, why? Because God doesn't change. Malachi 3:6, he said, for I am the Lord, I change not. See, God is stable. He wants us to behave in a stable way. Biblical principle doesn't change. You say, why? God doesn't change. God's word does not change. Now, there are some bad people out there that change God's word. And so you know, the Bible's very clear. People that tamper with the scripture and change the word of God, the Bible actually teaches there's a curse on them. It's a bad thing. But the pure word of God, it does not change. The Bible says in Psalm 119:89, it says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Bible-based principles bring stability to people. And so, Bible principles, they don't change. That's because God does not change. That's because God's word does not change. That's because Jesus does not change. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, living And get this. This is where, you remember in the scripture where when we were reading there in Zechariah 8:16, and it said, there will be peace in your gates. Now listen, when you live by principle, you're living by unchanging Bible-based guidelines. When things are unchanging, they are anchored. They're not wavering. They're not unpredictable. When you do that, it brings security to your life. People seek counsel from their pastor because they're wavering. And what he does, he shares with them an anchored piece of advice, and it stabilizes them. Say, I don't know what to do. And I say, I know what to do. Well, how do you know what to do? I predetermined what to do based on the scripture. God said, this will work. Now go do that. And they say, whew, I was blowing all over the place. Now folks, all of us are to be anchored. All of us need that. So living by unchanging Bible-based principles brings security in our life. It strengthens your life in a powerful way. It brings strength. It strengthens your leadership. It brings security to your followers. It brings security to your decision making. It brings security to your emotions. It brings security to your family. It brings security to your future. It brings security to the situations in life. Principles will stabilize your nervous breakdown. What am I going to do? What's going to happen? What am I going to do? You know something? If you had some predetermined behaviors, you would have known how to behave while you were going through what you're going through. But you let emotion overwhelm you, and now you're just grabbing for straws and trying to figure out what to do. And you know what? There are people in this room. You've been in church for a long time. You heard a lot of teaching. You've been told the Bible's the Word of God for a long time. It's time for some of you to grow up and actually live according to the Bible and make your decisions based on the Word of God. Bring some security to your family. Bring some. Hey, the only thing that I think will limit the next stage of growth at Twin Rivers Baptist Church is that we have some Christians that mature and they go up a level and they grow in their security in the Word of God. You get that done, a church will go up a level. But listen, so here's what happens. I've got this whole series of guidelines that I've established. I live life. Something happened to me. I went to the scripture. The scripture said, Jeff, do this. I said, okay, next time I know what to do. So I've got all these guidelines. Most of the things that come at me, I just go to my guideline book. You say, can I see your book? Well, I don't have an actual book. But something happens. Something happens in the church. You know what I say? Let's see. What did I learn scripturally on how to deal with that in the past? I know exactly what I was taught in the past. I will pull my past experience into the now, and I can make a calm, solid decision. Most of what I face, I've already faced. Why freak out again when I freaked out the first time? I was supposed to grow. I was supposed to learn. So, it brings security. Let me explain. This is going to seem too simple for you. My biggest decision in life is not these millions of things coming at me. My biggest decision is, will I follow my principles or will I not? It comes at me. I'm not looking at 75 solutions. I'm looking at one. Follow my principle, predetermined, or don't follow my principle. Now, some of you, you could calm your life if you'd live that way. I make very few new decisions in my life. Very few. You know something? I'm 56 years of age. Man, I've seen, and I'm not old, and I don't have one foot in the grave. But I don't face a whole lot of things that are brand new to me. So I don't have to make a whole lot of decisions. I've predetermined some principles. My decision is I'll either obey the scriptural guidelines I set up or I'll disobey them. Now let me tell you where some of you young people are in trouble right now. You were reared in a home and your parents gave you some scriptural guidelines. You started making your own decisions and you're making your decisions outside the guidelines your parents gave you. So you're goofing up. You're getting in trouble. You're getting in trouble with mom and dad. You're getting in trouble with your friends. You're messing up your life. There are young people in here. You're more backslidden today than you have been in a long time. I'll tell you why. It came time you should have decided to do what you'd been taught to do instead of making a decision at the moment based on your peers or how you feel or your emotions or what's going on out there or what's everybody else wearing, what's everybody else listening to. I don't have to wonder what everybody else is wearing. I made a predetermined decision when I got saved what I would wear, and I let the scripture decide that. My emotions don't decide it. The weather doesn't decide it. Who I'm with doesn't decide it. It's predetermined. It never changes. Some of you are going to be liberals. It won't take long. You will be a liberal sooner or later. I'll tell you why. You used to have some guidelines. You've done away with them. You changed them. And you probably say, I've got some new guidelines. You'll change those too so you can get worse if that's what your flesh wants. See, decision making is much easier if your decisions are predetermined principles. I tell you, I don't think I could survive living the way some people do. Folks, this sounds maybe silly, but I mean it. Some of you make way too many decisions. Your primary decision ought to be, will I obey my scriptural guidelines or will I not? We put ourselves through the ringer. You know, most of your decisions are already made for you. So where at the Bible? What am I supposed to do? Obey it. That's nothing new to you, is it? This will keep you from becoming a modernist. Listen, I decided a long time ago what music, according to the Bible, is right in the church. If you brought me some contemporary or some Christian rock, I'm sorry. Decision's already made. Say, yeah, but the church up the street, they're going to grow more than us. My principles aren't determined on the growth of the church up the street. It doesn't work that way. Brother Elswick, you say, preacher, I want to take our youth department to a rock concert. I don't have to make a decision. Decision's already made. Now, Brother Edwards wouldn't bring me Christian rock or contemporary music, and Brother Elswick's not going to bring me a rock concert as a youth activity, but I'm going to tell you, decision's already made. That decision was made a long time ago based on right and wrong. I don't go to my office and say, oh no, what's Brother Elswick going to think of me? Oh, what's Brother Edwards going to think of me? Oh no, am I going to be rejected? How are people, how are they going to respond? I've already made a decision. The decision was made a long time ago. So you all know, I make my decisions based on principle. So if you come to try to change me, to get me off the old path, you're going to have a really hard time. You say, well, would you at least think about it? No. You say, why not? I thought about it a long time ago. When I was right with God, I thought about it, and I sunk my roots in deep, and I said, the Scripture says this, and the Scripture does not change. I got to make it all the way to the end, believing the way God showed me to believe when I got into this thing. And I'm promising you, some of you, there are some teenagers in here, you're going to grow up and you're going to be out of church and you're going to have a mess in your life, and your life didn't have to be like that. You knew what to do. You started rethinking everything. You started rethinking the importance of church and rethinking the importance of separation and rethinking the importance of spending your time with godly people. You've been rethinking it. I don't rethink it. Once it's in the Bible, it doesn't change. I'm not going to rethink it. You will not get me to rethink the King James Bible. It is the inspired, preserved Word of God. I locked it in a long time ago. It's not up for debate. You say, why? Because I'm depending on the Scripture to make that decision. I have a principle about it. Now, let me make a few cute little statements that I need to make before we go home because they're in my notes. What are the challenges of living by principle? Let me say this. Be sure that Bible principle is more important to you than popularity. Bible principle, more important than popularity. Teenagers, get that. Get that. Bible principle is more important than popularity. Then, Be sure Bible principle is more important to you than personalities. Personalities. Principle is forever. Personalities fluctuate. Then, be sure that your Bible principles are more important than your pride. Some of you need to swallow your pride and stick to your principles. Swallow your pride, stick to your principles. Next, be sure that Bible principle is more important to you than position. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. You say, well, Pastor, if I went to the liberal church, I would be the predominant one in their music program. So you would leave an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist church and go to a liberal church so you could be predominant? You're not living by principle. You're living by a desire for position. Be sure your Bible principle is more important than profit. In other words, your principle is more important than your wallet. Be sure Bible principle is more important to you than publicity. Oh, just think of the publicity I would get. I'm going to tell you a quick story, and we're almost done, so don't worry. I'm going to get you out of here real quick. Sometimes you like what I'm saying. Sometimes I like what I'm saying. The sermons are longer when I like what I'm saying, just so you know. I wrote a book. That time there wasn't anything like it on the market. It's called Character. Honey, what's the title of my book? Yeah, that's the title of my book. The one thing money can't buy, the one thing you can't afford to be without. I wrote the book. The book took off. I mean, it's distributed around the world, thousands and thousands. I think we've done 7 or 8 printings. And so you say, are you rich? No, we've given most all the money away from our book. But had a man come to me and he said this. He said, James Dobson has read your book. And James Dobson is very impressed. He'd like for you to come on his program, and he wants to help you with your book. You could sell 1 million copies of your book with the kind of publicity you'll get. You say, what'd you do? The decision already been made. I don't associate with people that are not old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, Baptist, rock rib. I don't do that. Say you passed up the possibility of 1 million copies. You know, 1 million copies at $10 each. What's that come up to? That's a lot of money. I didn't even have to think about it. Did I toss and turn at night? No. Why? I had a predetermined principle. My principle was that I would associate with the right kind of people, and I would not let the wrong kind of people market me so that I could get prosperity. Look, you've got to make sure that your principles are more important than publicity and profit. You got to make sure your principles are more important than a program, by the way. I'm talking about, listen, I believe this. I believe there are some wonderful ministries out there and some wonderful programs out there. But my loyalty is not to an institution. My loyalty is to the Scripture. And if there is an institution that used to be fundamental, that's not anymore, I'm required by my loyalty to the Word of God to retract from the institution that's not scriptural anymore. A lot of people sell out because of their attachment to an institution. What are we talking about? Your loyalties ought to be determined by your principles, and they ought to be scriptural. Not by a program. I'm finished. This is what was said in Zechariah. These are the things ye shall do. There's the thought of predetermining the principle. Speak every man the truth to his neighbor. In other words, when it comes time, let him know what you believe. Execute the judgment. In other words, don't just talk about it. Do what you said and you promised in a predetermined way to do. And then it said, what's the result? Peace in your gates. Some of you will rest better if you get some principles and let them make your decisions for you. When we're in the heat of the battle, we can tend to make bad decisions. To make good decisions, you're better off having made the decision before you went in to the war. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We'll be on our way in a matter of a few minutes. Some, I hope you got the sermon because I think it could revolutionize your life. Your way of behaving and thinking. Good business people function off of principle, not off the seat of their britches and not off of emotion. Good leaders function with principle. They discipline using principle. They guide things by principle. We need to get the scripture to guide us. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, I think I've been challenged in an area of life. I want principle in my life. I want to be guided by principle. I want that for my life, and I'm going to work at it. Would you let God see your hand? Would you raise your hand? We're going to have a quick altar call. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need the altar, you come. So there's some young people. You need to establish some guidelines in your life and stop making up your mind what you want to do, what you think about it, what your friends are doing, what is popular. Nope. Figure out what the Bible says and decide you're going to do what the Bible says, and that way you won't change. Principle over popularity. Principle over some program. Principles over profit. Your principle over personalities that could influence you. Principle over your pride. Principle over publicity. Go to the Bible, let the Bible tell you what to do, figure it out, decide to do it. From that point on, don't rethink it, don't revisit it. Say, the Bible says this, this is what I'm going to do. When hardship comes, when you face something, search your principles. If you don't have a principle in that given area, find somebody that does. Go to them and say, I need to borrow some wisdom right now. Step away from the situation, go back to your Bible and say, I'm going to figure out why I just did what I did, and the next time this hits me, I'll know what to do. Bring stability to your family. Bring stability to your business. Bring stability by way of living the principles of the Bible. Be good for some of you to listen to somebody that's got principles in life and you don't have any. Borrow theirs until you can scripturally grab a hold of some of your own. Better off than floating through life and doing everything emotionally, and every day you're a basket case. Borrow someone's principles. We're almost done and we'll be on our way.